He can understand what I'm trying to teach you, isn't he? Oh, let him go. They're not going to hear you. Doctrine that buried with the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and if they did, all of God was dead, because he really were buried with the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Baptism is a burial. Thank you, Brother Reynolds. Baptism is a burial. Where Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all three persons buried. You fellas should have yourself in a doctrine on that, son. If Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all three persons were buried, you either have Jesus being all three of them in the flesh, and all three of them were dead. And so you're buried with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, why did Jesus say he baptized in the name? Matthew 28:19. Name. Stop names. Name. Name of the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, did I bring up John 5:43? How does the Father? Jesus said, I'm coming in my Father's name. How did you know what my Father's last name is? Of course you do. That's because I have that name. And Jesus said, Father, I am. That name to thy disciples. This is John 17. That name he manifested the disciples of Jesus. And he came in his Father's name. And so the name of the Father Jesus. The name of the Son of Jesus. Luke, the first chapter. And the name of the Holy Ghost of Jesus. I brought out in John 14:26. How that the Comforter whom the Father will send in my name. I tell you the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is in the one name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I brought out, ladies and gentlemen, I made a preposterous, incredible statement. If I couldn't back it up by the Bible, hey, you fellas can study your Greek, you can look through your papers, you can whisper to each other, you can look down your face for that sad compliment, you can act like Hitler's making a mess up here, but you still have to account for the fact that everywhere baptism is mentioned in the New Testament at the Pentecost, it was in the name of Jesus. Peter obey what Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, or did he repeat it? I can't even get him to come to the debate. I don't know where he is. He's up around here. Oh, Brother Reynolds, where are you? Come to the debate. Answer these issues. I'm in the affirmative tonight. You're supposed to answer what I'm saying tonight. All right, you believe in these with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We believe in these with him, Romans 6:4, baptized in the Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you again, don't let him follow a simple believism on you and call it saving faith. And Brother Reynolds has written a statement and a daring to deny it, that in order to go to heaven, a man must believe on the Lord, he must believe in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, and he must obey the commandments of the Lord. You see, he says I'm being doctrinally dishonest. And I stood up here with all the tender and the little bit of ability God gave me, and I asked him to talk about Acts 10:48, where baptism was a commandment. See, work the crowd, how it goes. Isn't it fantastic how they know that they're going against you, Brother Reynolds, because you didn't deal with it. You denied the necessity of water baptism. I proved it was a command in Acts 10:48, and you ignored it. Shame on you for ignoring the commandment. You're not even qualified to open that Bible. You're a commandment. I command you to be baptized in Jesus' name. I command all of you Church of God people to be baptized in Jesus' name tonight. I command you to do it. I'm not begging you to do it. In the name of the Lord God of heaven, in Jesus' name, I command you to be baptized. And you may hate me, but you will be tested in the judgment. You have to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I want you to talk about your last week. Is it a commandment or not? Can a commandment be optional? I wonder what you Church of God folks are doing about this. There's nothing amazing about this. You folks still hang on his coattail, though he can't even answer these questions. Why don't you come out from among that kind of preaching and get into the truth? You walk out here every night like you won the debate. I've never seen a man more clobbered in all of my life, not by hits, but by the truth. And he walked out here like he won the debate, and he couldn't even answer who the Father Jesus was, and he won't even deal with the name of the Son. I'm begging! Haven't I? The devil's what the name of the Son is. Oh,
Oh, he won't say.
He knows he better not say. He'll get himself in a hole for the devil if he does. Come on now.
All right? Amen. All right, be baptized. Call him in the name of the Lord. The Greek of Acts 23:16 says, having that name called, that's the water baptism. The only difference is Paul's baptism in Acts 19 and the baptism of John. Come and remember this. You can just mark the rhythm. He didn't remember. His forgiveness is working. His forgiveness is really working. He forgot to deal with this, didn't he? Acts 19. The only difference in the two baptisms was what the preacher said. All right? Didn't I bring out the authority and power? Didn't I beg him to deal with it? What did he do? Got up here and ran around about what he made last night on a Godhead. Well, they would come back and talk about it. All right, then I brought out the name of John Doe, not John Doe, but son. This is the man I'm facing. Step away, President Holmes said, I called a Catholic priest. I said, if I were to be baptized in the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, would you accept the Catholic Church without being baptized? He said, absolutely. I said, if I'd come to be a Catholic and I'd been baptized with the preacher saying in Jesus' name, would you acknowledge that baptism? He said, unconditionally no. We have to re-baptize you over again in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because that's our baptism. E.J. Reynolds has Catholic baptism. The Catholic priest rejects mine and okays it. You folks, anytime you don't want to be a member of the Church of God, you go to the Catholic Church and they won't baptize you over again. Because they recognize as brethren, separated brethren, all who have Trinity baptism. I'm glad we're out from among them. And Holy Trinity, Holy Ghost, Trinity says, the name of the Father is not Jesus, the Father. The name of the Son is not Jesus, the Son. Name of the Holy Ghost is not Jesus, the Holy Ghost. This is Mr. Reynolds. The Holy Ghost says the name of the Father is Jesus, John 5:43. Name of the Son is Jesus, Matthew 1:21. Name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus, John 14:26. The name that's above every name, Philippians 2:9. Did I bring it out? Did he touch it? No, couldn't. Well, not Jesus is Jesus. Wait, I'm glad ours is Jesus. All right, Father baptism in three names or three persons. That's what they say. That's Catholic doctrine. Jesus said, baptized in the name. Peter said in Matthew 30 in the name. Catholic priests reject our baptism. We thank God for that. All right, the Church of God says in the three names, God says neither is there salvation in any other. Acts 4:12, I beg you to deal with. He says, I don't bring out Scripture. That's all I have to go out. Scripture, and he can't deal with Scripture. He's not even a debater. He can't even follow. He can't even bring out the point of about what I'm talking about. I beg you to talk about Acts 4:12, how that the name of Jesus is the name that is above every name, and be baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He's baptizing in an inferior name because the Bible says in Acts 4:12 that the name of Jesus is the only name given unto men, heaven on men. That's how we must be saved. And Philippians 2:9 says he has a name that is above every name. All right, let's go to the verse. Attract inconsistency. Take three separate persons composed of one Godhead, the water and spirit, neither of which your persons cannot compose of one baptism. Ephesians 4:5 and John 3:5. I brought out there's only one birth consisting of water and spirit, one baptism consisting of water and spirit. The analogy of John 3:5 and Ephesians 4:5, the same way to our position tonight. He went off on the tank about the Holy Ghost. He doesn't realize the Holy Ghost doing the commandment of my water baptism. Jesus commanded his disciples to tell him to receive the Holy Ghost. He commanded them out of his name.
If the totality of all there was in God was in the Lord Jesus Christ, I think it might be fitting for you to understand that Jesus Christ
and the Father is not the Holy Ghost. John 3:28, Acts 2:4, Luke 1:35, John 14:23, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says the Father is the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Romans 8:9-10 that Jesus is the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:24, whom God raised up. John 2:19, I will raise it up. John 14:17 speaks of the comforter. God is 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So the Father is Jesus. Isaiah 9:6 says, the Son is the everlasting Father. Yes. John 12:14 says, the Father is in Jesus. John 14:19 says, the Father is in Jesus. So, Jesus is the Father. The Father is the Holy Ghost. And they're all in one person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right. Oh, that's enough. He won't do anything else.
Let's close here now with a few remarks. All right. In this debate, I was established by the truth of the Bible that the following affirmance is real. That it is scriptural to call the name of Jesus at water baptism without all reference to the improper nouns of Father and Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, I deny that Father and Spirit are proper nouns. He can't do it. He's a greater authority than all the lexicographers and people of grammar study who know the words and know how to talk and speak. But this man puts himself up above them. All right, two
necessary to speak the name Jesus for healing? Acts 3:1-3. How much more necessary is to speak the name for remission of sin, which comes not by mere authority, but by power. I hope he deals with that. Over 50 times in the New Testament, the power of the name Jesus was obtained by speaking the name. I prove to you that the name of Jesus is necessary. I put out the scriptures, I put the chart, I waited for him to answer here. I got some $1,000 check for $100 to $50, came down to $40. He owed me 25 cents because they have my title and not my name. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something in concluding my last speech tonight. We're not representing.
There's three separate and distinct. And ladies and gentlemen, here is where we draw swords, and thus we're having a debate here tonight. And I ask you.
Long ago, and if these people get baptized in Jesus' name for remission of sin, you'd see a difference in their way, in their style, in their standard. Mark 12. The true Jesus people are not the match of the professed preachers. They're not the many skirted pantsuit and indecently dressed moving on. How do you think of our day? True people are not the long-haired hippies, unfaith, pop, smoking, pill-popping rock and rollers of the day. These effeminate, hand-dangling, so-called men and boys have no place in the kingdom of God until they're born again of the Word and the Spirit. If these people are truly born again, that is, when they repent of sin, get baptized in Jesus' name, they will be changed, and simply they will not hold on to the styles and practices of the world. They'll not sit before 30 television sets and watch those filthy movies. They'll not do the things of the world, but they'll come out from among them and be a prophet people of the Lord, because there's a purity in the revelation of one God that preserves the true church today. So I ask you, be not deceived by the glittering cross and expensive steeple. Every cathedral is not the true church. Turn to the right church before you give up, because death forever fixes the destiny of a man. It's staggered, vibrating in the human heart, says now, it's the day of salvation. The Bible says that him that is filthy, be filthy still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still.
That Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. That is not the truth. Colossians 1:27. My opponent said that 5H Smith is not a name. 5H Smith's phone number is 912-422-3892 in Pearson, Georgia. That is a proper name. That is the proper name. Yes. And by the way, I challenge Mr. Hicks to come to Alabama for a public discussion on these same propositions. We'll arrange the time and place. We'll arrange the time and place just as soon as we can.
He says he accepts the challenge if he can get somebody to play it.
Afraid to debate me again. Now then, my friend, I want you to give me a verse of Scripture where any preacher after the day of Pentecost debated, where any preacher after the day of Pentecost baptized in water in his name alone. That was the proposition my opponent signed with me. That in order to be saved, you had to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now then, that was not what the opponent proved. He didn't show one verse of Scripture. My question mark is still up there. He hadn't shown one verse of Scripture where one candidate was in one place of water and received their salvation as a result of that. Now, next of all, give me the names of the Church of God preachers who told you that I was a terrible debater. We believe, my dear friend, also that Jesus Christ is omnipresent by the very fact of his omniscience. I have already told you, my friend, who the Father of Jesus Christ was. I told you that plainly, and I told you that clearly. I want to also note to you that it is possible to be a father and not be your own father. That it is possible to be a son and not be your own son. It is possible to be a father and not be your own father. It's possible to be a son and not be your own son. The teaching of Gnosticism would be what compares with the Sabellian doctrine that my brother has preached as concerned the persons in the Godhead. He said, He said that which was conceived in Mary was the third first person of the blessed Holy Trinity. I really think that was an accident, that he didn't really mean that. I think that was a slip of the tongue. John baptized, the Bible tells us, John the Baptist makes the statement, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Peter says in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The word unto signifies result. For instance, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The word for in our second meaning, as the, in our second text, has the same meaning as it does in the first. Result of or because of. The Greek dictionaries and lexicons have this word going forward and backwards. By the Koine period of Greek, which my brother used here tonight, the prepositions were so versatile until Gerhard Kettle, one of the most renowned the theologians, said that it was not exegetically correct to build a theology upon those types of prepositions. Now then, are we to understand that water baptism, he said, I wouldn't touch this, but I'm not only touching it, I'm going on the top side, bottom side, inside, outside, every side that's got to it. The word for in our second text has the same meaning as result. Now, are we to understand that Peter administered water baptism to effect the salvation of those people who had come that day? I want to read you from the Bible. Take your Bibles, turn them with me to Acts chapter 10, verse 32. May I call time, Mr. Moderator? May I call time, Mr. Moderator? I hear a lot of talking over the congregation, Mr. Moderator. I'm trying to preach. Thank you, my dear brother. Now let us read chapter 10 of Acts and begin at verse 32. Here is the message I want you to understand. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded from God. And not one time in that context, down through verse 42, did he command the people to be baptized in water. In verse 42, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of Jesus or of God. Of God to be the judge of the quick and dead, or judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him should have remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Then when the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, the reason they knew that, they spoke with tongues, and then Peter commanded them to be baptized by the authority of the Lord. Would you turn on the chart now, my brother? Now I want you to notice, before I get into the chart, make a note with you that over in the 10th chapter, 11th chapter of the book of Acts, and in the context of verse 14 down through about 17 or 18, Peter said, I'd hardly begin to preach unto them when the Holy Ghost fell on them, as it did on us in the beginning. Here's where they're from. Then he said, see, therefore, that God giveth, then remember out of the word of John, or of Jesus, how he said, John said, ye should be baptized with water. See, therefore, that God giveth them the life giver that is unto us, what was that I could withstand God? So the Jews accepted the fact that those believing Gentiles were saved before they were baptized in water. It is in Acts chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. And God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as it is unto us, purifying the hearts by faith. I want to ask you, my brother Hicks says he believes I have the Holy Ghost. Thank you, brother Hicks. I believe you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
I really believe that. I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe you're wrong, of course, about all these preachers. I think you've been misinformed, and you wouldn't answer the question on Dr. Ballow's being here and take me and show me where I made mistakes on what the Church of God teaches. Here's what the Church of God teaches. Here's an alien sinner. He's lost without God. He's on his way to hell, and he wants to be saved. He knows that unless he gets saved, he's going to go to an everlasting hell. He's going to go to a hell of fire and brimstone. Unless he accepts the virgin-born Son of God, the first person of the Godhead, who was conceived by the second person of Godhead in the womb of Mary, unless he accepts that person who was conceived by the third person of the Godhead, he knows he's going to die and go to hell. The Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and the power of the highest overshadowed her, and the holy flame which was born of her was called the Son of God. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and he went to Calvary, and he died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Now, this alien sinner understood that, and he wanted to be saved. So he starts up the road to get saved. He hears from Galatians 1 and 4. He hears of grace and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might redeem us from this present evil world. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ hath also once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. In 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we are fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He's an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and a stranger from the covenant of promise. But in Christ Jesus, the Bible said, are those who were afar off made nigh by the blood of Christ. Did you know what the Bible said there? In 1 Corinthians chapter 17, chapter 1, and verse 17 and 18, for Christ hath not sent me to baptize. That's what the Apostle Paul said. But the priest, that's what the Bible said. He said to preach Christ. He said he thanked God he hadn't baptized any of those people in the Church of God at Corinth. How do you like the name Church of God for the name of the church? The name that was present, church, that was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, under which the Holy Ghost has made us overseer. I like the name Church of God. The name United Pentecostal is not in the Bible. But the name Church of God is in there, or Churches of God, church or churches, about 11 or 12 times. Well, I want you to know that Paul at Corinthian church, that he hadn't baptized any of their members, except Crispus and Gaius. He had baptized also the household of Stephanus. He worried, as they say, he baptized in his own name. He said, the preaching of the cross. Oh, we love that blessed message of the cross. He said, the preaching of the cross is the thing that perish foolishness. But that we would just say, it is the power of God. I'll tell you, my friend, that you can preach the gospel in the name of Jesus. That is no other name given among men under heaven where must they say, but the name of Jesus. The most blessed name of Jesus, the blessed Son of God, the virgin born Savior, who is Christ the Lord, who dwells in our heart by his blessed Spirit right now. But Father, he waits on us in heaven. The Bible said he did. Not each other, the most precious of us, 1 in 10. Turn it out, your Bible. See this there. Now then, here at the cross of Calvary, alien sinner has arrived. He knows he can be saved by grace through faith. He knows that he can do that. It's not some circumcision made with hands. He knows that he can be saved and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in heaven, the redeemed are going to say, we'll get to that later. But he knows this now. Now here's the thing I want you to get. There is only one place. Only one place. Now you hear me real good. In the New Testament, from the day of Pentecost until now, that the question was explicitly asked, what must I do? What must we do to save? And my friends, you take your Bibles and you take a look. Acts 2:37 didn't say, what must we do to be saved? What must we do? But Acts 16:30 and 31 told them what to do. What must we do to be saved? Isn't it strange to you that the Holy Ghost said on that day, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and the house? And he took them that night and baptized them by a dream. And I baptized every person be done. God never did authorize a change. He didn't authorize one when the rebellion started. He didn't authorize one when the Moses started. He didn't authorize it when the civilians rebelled from the church, the apostolic church. And in one of the oldest writings in the world, that there came, that is, in that book, that's the oldest Christian writing beside the Bible in existence. In 92 to 102 A.D., that book was written, and it's the oldest piece of Christian literature that we have beside the Bible, and it said they're baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I want to pause right there, just long enough to say, I need one of those folders up here, that they went to the cross before they went to the water. In 1 Peter 3:21, one of my folders on the thing. They went to the cross, got the blood applied, before they ever went to the water, to get the moral depravity washed out of them. I've proven to you tonight that you get saved. Cathedral House did. I asked one fellow the other day, those fellows had the Holy Ghost if they were saved, and he said about half saved. They didn't have the baptism in water yet, so they were half saved. And my opponent said tonight, that you had to have the Holy Ghost to speak in tongues in order to be saved. But his proposition says that he must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in water. Which is it? Now then, facts about the Bible. The Old Testament was completed about 290 B.C. In 367, Athanasius prepared a list of 27 books which have been accepted by our Bible, as our Bible. The Council of Hippo in 393. The Council of Carthage in 397. And then Jerome wrote the Latin Vulgate in 387 A.D. Ebede wrote during the 8th century, died in 735 A.D. These men were members of what you call the Catholic Church. Does that make the Bible a Catholic Bible because Catholic men preserved the Scriptures and met in these councils at Carthage and Hippo and canonized the Scriptures? Do you know who says the book of Matthew belongs within the context of the Bible? The Council of Carthage and Hippo. Catholic priests, according to your theory. After this, God didn't come down and say, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The bishops in these councils. The bishops in these councils.
Brother Powers, may I answer your point of order? May I answer your point of order? Are we not debating on baptism in the name of Jesus Christ? And am I not authorized to say and say he contended for the oneness doctrine? I'm contending for the Trinity. Baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Very humbly, in the name of Jesus, may I ask you another question? Did the brother follow one of my points, one of my charts last night? Did he not say it was his, for he said he had not followed my charge and it was his prerogative? He didn't have to follow my visual aid, that it was his prerogative? I'm debating the Trinity and Trinity baptism. I'm debating baptism in Jesus' name, and I say that's my soul. That's not a new chart. I introduced it, and I didn't know what you were calling for tomorrow. I introduced that chart. It was up on the board, pinned up there before I ever sat down a while ago. You have the same chart. Put the chart up here, buddy.
Back to
answer
you, even
deal with
that. That's right.
I'm dealt with the doctors exactly as I'm supposed to.
Amen.
All right, now then, the Council of Hippo, the Council of Carthage, did not. The Council of Carthage and the Council of Hippo did not belong to any group besides bishops of the Roman Church. These men canonized the Scripture. And it's from that scripture that we preach. All right? Henry VIII broke with Rome in the 14th century. And they didn't have a complete Bible until the 14th century because the Catholic Church, or the church that you call the Catholic Church, didn't allow it. Henry broke in the 8th century.
John Wycliffe in 1382, William Tyndale in 1453 translated the Bible into English. Now, that doesn't make the Bible a book of an adulterous Anglican church simply because he did that. Last night now, my opponent waited till my last negative speech to start reading from the encyclopedia and the tapes recorded. So that's what I'm going to do. The Encyclopedia Britannica, Volume 3, page 138, 1967. On baptism, there is no actual account of the institution of baptism, but the Gospel of Matthew portrays the risen Christ issuing the Great Commission and states that a valid baptism used water as the Trinitarian invocation, some believe it to have been in the name of the Lord Jesus. Encyclopedia Britannica, Volume 22, page 241, 242. The word Trinity asserts that God is one in essence, but three in persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. World Book Encyclopedia, Volume 2, page 70, 1973. King John baptized Jesus Christ, who in turn instructed his disciples, Matthew 28, 19.